We'll be in Acts chapter 2. Kathy testified this morning about the ladies going out and visiting. I'll tell you one thing that is a blessing to me. I honestly appreciate it more than I could ever express. And those folks that you see, you don't know how much you mean to them. But when she was testifying, it made me think about this. I started to print it this morning, to tell you the truth. Probably should have, but laying in the shut-in bed, a lady from a nursing home, supposed to have written this, I don't have any reason to doubt that, says she sits there patiently and wipes away a tear, wishing that a visitor would suddenly appear, someone to say, "How are you?" and greet her with a smile, someone to sit beside her and chat a little while. It's hard for her to understand just what she's doing there, what happened to her friends and family who used to care. Why has she been abandoned like some old worn-out shoe? What crime has she committed? What bad thing did she do? True, she has the bed to sleep in, and she's sheltered from the rain, but there's precious little else to ease her loneliness and pain. She's only one of many in the Oster's home today who finds the price of living longer much too high to pay. That picture could be quickly changed if all of us would spend some extra time just visiting a relative or friend who's shut away from all the things that once was held so dear, things to be reminded at least someone is near, to take her by the hand and say, "How are you?" with a smile, and then just sit beside her and love her for a little while. I tell you one thing. If you want a ministry, that's a good one, just going out and visiting folks, people that are forgotten and ignored and haven't done anything to deserve it, many of them. I'd recommend that, to go and seeing somebody. Anyway, Acts chapter 2, we have been looking at the daily requirements for a healthy church. I have tried to liken it to the vitamins that we need to take. The things that our body needs physically, it is a daily requirement. It's right here on the bottle. It tells us what we need, or at least in regards to these particular type of helps and vitamins or whatever. It tells you need it. You know why? Because you need it. And when we lack those things, we are somehow will suffer, or we will not have what we could have. And if that's true physically, it's also true spiritually. I want a healthy church. I want a church that God's pleased with. I want a church that God's presence is manifested on a regular basis. Not to say we get to shout every service. That'd be all right, by the way. But we don't have to. But I do desire that every service He's here. And not just here with us as we walk with Him every day. This church building is not the church. We are. And therefore, when we aren't here, we are out there, but we're still the church. And what we do out there will make a difference in here. And there's no doubt about that. I have tried to magnify. I'm still pecking away. I'm going to try my best to finish tonight. And you'll probably say amen to that. But one of the daily requirements of a good, healthy church is this thing of purity. If you look in these verses, in fact, let's just look through them once again, verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and with breaking bread from house to house, did eat their bread with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I say that sounds like a pretty good church to me. it sounds like it's got the blessings of God on it, and it does. That is my desire. I long for that. I don't long that just for that, just because I'm a pastor, but that has a lot to do with it. I would want to be the member of a local church that's healthy spiritually. And I have looked through these verses and said that this one thing that keeps coming to the top, surfacing, is the fact that they lived pure lives. And it starts there. It has to start there. We can't start with the shouting or the glory or souls saved or people helped or lives changed. All that is the result. It's the result. It's the fruit. It's the harvest. But there's some labor involved. There's some sowing involved. There's some plowing involved. There's some things, there's some groundwork that has to be laid. And I believe with all my heart, the first thing, the most important daily requirement for a local church is purity, pure lives. I have said that a pure church involves Christians and character and conduct and convictions. And conviction, it's going to get a little rough right now. Hope you got a good load this morning. The next one is conversation. I have looked in these verses, and I see in verse 42, it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, listen to me, and fellowship. Isn't it interesting that the Lord made sure to remind us, to let us know, not to miss this, that there's some things about fellowship that's important. One of the reasons why God can bless them, listen, because their fellowship was right. And that's part of the reason that God could bless them. You take that away, hey, you take the vitamin away and you're going to be ailing, going to be something missing. You won't be healthy in this thing of having the right kind of conversation, what we say and how we talk. God is very serious about it. He said that He will look at every idle word. Oh, my. Words that just slip out. And He calls them slippery words. I understand that. But the Lord said, we uttered them. We'll be held accountable. He is very serious about our conversation, how we talk. James said it like this, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, this man's religion is vain. He said, listen, the Lord said, a loose tongue may be a symptom of a deeper problem. He said the person that doesn't bridle their tongue may be somebody who has an in vain religion. In other words, they aren't even saved. I say this thing of how we talk is important. The Lord doesn't take it lightly. He's serious about it. And if we are to have the church that we need and desire and a church that God can bless and a church that makes God smile, we got to learn how to talk right. He talked there about bridling the tongue, putting that bit in the horse's mouth, all that power, all that danger. Boy, a wild horse out of control can do great damage. But a horse in control can do a great deal of good. And the Lord said, when your tongue is under control of the Holy Spirit, when you have it bridled, oh, there's so many good things you can do. But when it's out of control, when it's let loose, oh, it can do such damage very quickly. That horse can be steered to the right or to the left. That horse can be controlled because there's a bit there. Usually, the last thing we yield to the Lord is our tongue. We can get right about giving. We can get right about going. We can get right about doing right. We can get right about coming faithfully. But usually the tongue is the last thing we yield. You know why? It's the most difficult to control. I tell you this evening, we need to realize the importance of having the right conversation, of talking right. Hey, we can do right, but we need to talk right. Proverbs 29, verse 20 says, "Seeth the man that is hasty in his words?" Listen, "there is more hope for a fool than of him." He says, if you know somebody, or if it's true of you, that just says things without thinking, you got a problem. They got a problem. He said, there's more hope for a fool than that kind of person. It tells us the importance of having control of our tongue, and it tells us the danger and damage of not having that control. Proverbs 29:11, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards." He says a person who just speaks without thinking, that person's not wise. I use that. Hey, he was a whole lot tougher on us than I am. He says we need to wait and make sure we say the right thing or say nothing at times. Our conversation is important. Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." He said, what you say is not the real problem. Now it is a problem, but he said the real issue is that you have said is a revelation of what's inside your heart. What we say and how we speak reveals what we are. That's why it's so important that we talk right, because if we'll talk right, maybe we'll be right. I'm talking this evening about a healthy church. It's one of the daily requirements, a good dose of purity. And part of that, sad to say, is our conversation. We should speak the truth. Matthew 5:37. "Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay." He's saying, when you say yes, mean yes. And when you say no, mean no. In other words, just tell the truth all the time. Judge Judy says, if you tell the truth, you don't need a good memory. Well, that's true. We need to tell the truth. Speak the truth. We need to be careful about how we talk. The Bible says also we should speak in a pleasant manner. This bothers an old grouchy man like me, I'll be honest. But it's still in the Bible, and it still applies to me. Listen to this. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt." We're not just to say the right thing. We're to say it in the right attitude. We're out of a sweetness about us. And I'll tell you one thing, us old grouchy folks, that's kind of hard. But it doesn't change because we're getting older. I told you better you enjoyed this morning. I'll tell you what, it'll help us though. Hey, I hate these old big horse pills. They don't taste good. They don't smell good. They don't feel good going down. But they make me feel better if I'll take them right. And so it is with God's house. We need to make sure we're taking the daily doses that's going to make us healthy and keep us healthy. We should avoid negative talk. It does great damage. James said it like this, "Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." From the same mouth comes a blessing, and in a moment's notice comes a curse. Sweet things, good things, godly things, bad things, grouchy things, ungodly things, unspiritual things. Out of the same mouth, he said, that ain't what it's supposed to be. It doesn't make natural sense for a fountain to give forth sour water one moment and sweet water the next. He says, if that's true, there's a problem somewhere that needs to be addressed. It's contrary to nature. James 4:11 says, "Speak not evil one of another." 1 Peter 4:15, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters." Listen to what he did. Listen to what the Lord did. murderer, thief, and evildoer. Check, check, check. Not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, but whoa, 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 whoa. He connects. He puts in there with this ungodly bunch of people. Hey, the busybody, it literally means someone who speaks in somebody else's business. It means a meddler. I'm going to say this and I'll move on. I say amen to. The Lord says how my people talk is important. Because how they talk, listen to me, can change the world. You are saved tonight because you heard someone speak. They used their lips, their mouth, their tongue, and those words God used to convict you, draw you, inform you, enlighten you to the truth. And because of that, you are here saved and heading to heaven instead of going to hell. But there's been times, just to be honest, like this morning, some of your testimonies, you have no idea how it helped me. You have no idea. God can use our lips, our words for good and His glory. What you say may make a major difference in the life of somebody, and you may not even know what they're going through. I'll be honest, the struggle I have, one of the struggles I have as a preacher, pastor, friend, whatever, Christian, is trying to talk to somebody and say something that will help them. I feel so useless. And it seemed like I never find the words and I never know what to say. And when I say it, I think, hey, that wouldn't help me. How could it help them? But I do know this. If I say the right thing, God can use it to help someone. In the same way, if we say the wrong thing or in the wrong way, it can tear somebody down. More churches than we can count have been taken down because of tongues. Because of words, because of something that, hey, maybe you didn't even realize, we didn't realize, they didn't realize what they were saying. Something said without thought, without prayer, without consideration of the results. And it hurt. It made a difference in somebody's life instead of helping them, it hurt them. I say this morning, this evening, boy, it makes a difference how we talk. And the Lord said, if you want that church, if you want a healthy church, you better learn how to use your tongue. Well, let's look and go on to the last point of this first point. I'm talking about purity. I'm talking about a right life. Doing things God's way. Doing things the way God desires. If we want a church that's blessed, we've got to do it in God's way. A pure church involves Christians and character and conduct and convictions and conviction and conversation. But it also involves commitment. Look in verse 42 again. And they continued steadfastly. It wasn't something they did for a couple of days and forgot it. It wasn't something they committed to for a week and went back to their regular routine. Had they done that, God could have blessed them for as long as they were dedicated. But once that dedication went, once that commitment went, so wouldn't the church go. Have you ever had God speak to your heart and deal with you in an area in your life, maybe let's say reading the Bible? And you think, man, I need to read the Bible more. I need to be more committed to reading the Bible. And for a day or two, boy, that desire's there, that fervency's there, and that commitment's there, and you read, and you get such a blessing and such a help. But then a day comes, and you don't want to quite as much. Or you read, and you don't get quite as much blessing. Or you just don't have time to push it in. That one day. And the next day, you won't two, even less. And the next day, you don't even hardly think about it. And what has happened is we have slowly but surely gone right back to our old routine. And that desire and that working of the Holy Spirit in our heart that had committed us for a day or two, somehow we let it go. But these people didn't get a temporary fix. They didn't do it just for a few days. They did it, and they did it, and they did it, and they did it again. Now, I'll tell you what, that's what it takes to have a good church, a healthy church. Commitment, committed, dedicated, sold out. How many of you would be satisfied with your refrigerator if it ran 95% of the time? 95%, that's pretty good. Christian that's dedicated 95%, man, we think that's great. But I don't want a refrigerator that runs 95% of the time. Because what you going to do about that 5% when your hamburger's rotting in the freezer and your Pepsi's warm? Anybody satisfied with a car that runs 98% of the time? 98% of the time that thing fire right up, man, you go to town, go wherever you want to, get you to work, come to church, everything's fine, but 2%, nothing. What about this? What about if your spouse is faithful 99% of the time? Anybody want to sign up for that marriage? Most of the time, they're great. Wouldn't even look at the opposite sex. Wouldn't even be interested. I wouldn't even cross their mind. But every once in a while, that magnet's just more than they can take. I wouldn't be satisfied with that, neither would you. And I don't believe the Lord is satisfied and content with Christians who are dedicated most of the time. Hey, even the word dedication, even the word commitment suggests all the time. See, commitment is doing it when you don't want to. There'll be a lot of times we need to do right, but we don't want to do right. There'll be a lot of times you're told by the Holy Spirit to read or study or pray or witness or give or go or whatever, and we don't want to. But it's always right to do right. And commitment means I'm going to do right, whether I want to or not. Because it's right. You see, we are called servants. We are sons. We are children. We are sheep. But we also are servants. Hey, a servant does one thing, whatever the master says. Doesn't matter if he wants to or not, because he's a servant and the master is a master. The good thing about it is we got a good master. We don't have an evil master. We don't have a taskmaster. We don't have an ogre. But we do have a master. We do have a master, and we are the servants. And we are to report for duty. Sometimes you just have to report for duty. You're not thrilled. You're not excited. Sometimes you don't even want to, but you report for duty because you say, Lord, you are my Lord, and I am your servant. And if this church is to be a healthy church, that's what we've got to do. Commitment. Hey, what's the difference between the person who wins the gold medal in the Olympics and somebody who didn't even make the team? Now, sometimes it's talent. I understand that. But more than not, it's commitment. The person who stands on the highest platform and wins the gold medal is the person who was committed. They skied when they didn't want to ski. They got up early when most people were sleeping. They went down that slope and they failed and they got back up and get right back up there and go down the slope again. They were committed, and because their commitment continued, they were the ones who won. And if we want to win the prize, we must stay committed. Hey, Paul tells it like this. Everybody doesn't win. Only those who are striving for the prize, doing the best and continuing. Tom Landry said this, a good coach is one who gets men to do what they don't want to do in order to become what they've always wanted to be. I know that's an earthly, from my understanding, he's saved. It don't matter what he said, still right. And still real spiritual, whether he meant for it to be spiritual or not. A good coach is one who gets men to do what they do not want to do in order to become what they always wanted to be. It's not easy. And we're living in a day when commitment is almost gone. Most people, since I'm a part of most people, we're a part of most people, and you've heard it said, you may have said it yourself. If you did, you're right. Most people do what they want to do. That's pretty much it. If you see that new truck and you really want it, somehow, if it's possible, you'll get it. I know sometimes it's impossible because a $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 truck is impossible for some people. But if it's possible, you'll go without your beans to get your truck. Your wife just had to do her own fingernails. I want my truck. We do pretty much what we want to do. We do. Amen or not, we do. But what I want to do shouldn't matter. I love it when I want to. I love it when I'm thrilled. I love it when I'm burning and a desire to do and go and give and all. I love it. But there's times it's still right to do and go and give. I don't want to a lick. Commitment means we do it anyway. And we need some committed folks. Now, I'm telling you, I know I'm preaching to the choir right here. I know that. But you know how easy it would be for you to not be committed? Do you know how easy it would be for the devil to take your desire and your commitment and your determination to where before long you get to where, I don't know if I'll go tonight. I don't know. I'm kind of tired. I don't feel like going to visit. I'm sleepy. Don't want to read tonight. I really don't want to do what's right, even though I know I ought to. Commitment, dedication. We need it if we're going to be a healthy church. They didn't last for a few days. Hey, they still kept going when they didn't want to. Listen to me. Listen to me. They were being whipped, imprisoned, and some of them died, and they stay committed. All it takes for us is a few drops of rain sometimes, or my toe hurts. Our God deserves our best. When you folks sing, do your best. Sing! When you teach, do your best. When you come, when you do, when you go, whatever, do your best. Give your all. Give your all. He gave his all for us. I'm reminded of people who gave their all. I'm reminded of Abraham, a rich man who left it all behind and went out into a place where he didn't even know where he was going, a place that God was going to show him, and lived in tents. A man could have lived in a palace. But he spent his life, much of it, in tents. You know why? The Bible says, read the Bible, because God told him to. He obeyed the voice of God. That's what the Bible says. Peter, old Peter, big mouth Peter, loose lip Peter. And he didn't even say this for the right reason, but he said the right thing. We have left all for thee. Now, he's trying to get better, getting a foothold or something better. And what he said was for the wrong reason, but he said the right thing. They had given their all. They had turned and left everything behind. And old Peter is going to stand before the Lord just like us. And Abraham is too. Peter's New Testament saint. Paul's New Testament saint. James' New Testament saint. I sure hope I'm not close to them when I'm in line. With all my heart tonight, I just want to say this. Our God really deserves the best we have. I'm thinking about somebody right now. I won't tell you who it is. But everything they do is the best they can do. Doesn't matter if they're out plowing the ground or washing the car or fixing something broken. In my estimation, everything that I've seen in their life, they do the best they can. Oh, they may not be as talented as some people. They may not have as much as others. But they use what they have and they do the best they can. And it is evident in their life. It just comes out. And I believe that's what God deserves. I know that's what He desires. By the way, that's what He demands. Now we're hitting on some tough stuff here. These messages have not been so easy. But buying this stuff and taking this stuff's not easy either. Vitamins. But finding out the importance of it and the blessing of it when I do it. And you know what I think? I can see God working with us. I can. I'm looking forward to what He's going to do. I'm looking forward to what He's already done. And I want to be a part of something that's alive and pleasing and powerful and usable. I want to be a part of that. I want to be that. I really do. I want that. That's my desire. And if it takes something, if it takes some sacrifice, if it takes some examination, if it takes some changes, and it will, I think it'll be worth it. Because we need it. And the benefit is always worth it when it comes to spiritual things. Some medicine you take, some vitamins you take, you just will forget it. You wasted your money. But that's not true of God's work. Every time we do it His way, there's a benefit. It's probably not going to get easier. Probably going to get harder. But God has promised us the grace we need to go through whatever we're going through. Let's stand together.